Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
How you feeling?
I feel great.
Yeah?
I feel great that One Up is back and we're talking about hip hop and just getting it in.
Have you heard from Jay-Z?
Should we do sponsors now?
I don't know.
Not yet? Okay. Because I love the part that where we get some kind of money.
Well, so I've never, a little usually bit. People aren't so eager to do the commercials.
Just right away. We'll do them now. You want to go top?
We wish this podcast was all commercials.
I haven't heard from Jay yet. No.
He hasn't reached out?
Mm-mm.
I haven't talked to him in a while.
Yeah.
Like, years.
It's fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because I still want the 45 that I'm supposed to get.
I don't understand why you think Jay-Z distributes the vinyl.
He doesn't, but they're in L.A. I think they're at either his house or studio.
So go to L.A. What's the problem?
I need one of your Roc Nation people to help me finally get this done. I need it.
All right. We'll get somebody.
So we'll
get someone
on
it. Yeah.
Because if I don't get it, it's a mistake. And we're going to talk about some of Jay's mistakes today.
He doesn't have any.
Every human being, no matter how great they are, makes mistakes.
Okay. I mean, that's nothing to hold against the guy. You know,
everyone is flawed.
Are you talking about the MonsterVerse?
Yeah.
The Jay-Z MonsterVerse it's not good. It's not good at all.
Welcome to One Ep, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome.
One Ep is sort of like a syllabus that you would get at a philosophy course at a mid-level university.
Right, a kind of university that would have a commercial on television.
Yes, that level. And instead of philosophy when you get there, it's just talking about hip-hop and shit.
Yeah, but thank God, because who doesn't want to talk about hip-hop?
Hove has had his mistakes before, and today we're going to dive into some of them, because I think there's a couple of things that are interesting about that. Number one, what those mistakes are. Well, I'm sure we'll have different opinions on what's a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And also then some of the good that still is around some of those mistakes.
That's the thing about Jay-Z. He's literally like the case study of like how you got to fall down to then learn a lesson to get back up even stronger.
All Falls Down is a Kanye West song. So you showing that you don't know anything about hip hop yet again. So, okay, what stands out to you? What's the biggest Jay-Z faux pas of
overall,
all time?
Overall, people always want to say Blueprint 2, which I don't agree with.
Okay.
But that's always a big one. You know, the Sunshine record could have been a career ender.
It's really interesting that it comes up so much because it shows how important a moment it was, but at the same time, it's not like you hear it very often. He doesn't perform it, and people don't generally talk about it. And the funny thing is, the way it gets discussed in this podcast is mostly like a mistake, and yet you and I now both love the song.
Right, of course. Now, listening back, I love it. At the time, it was not what I expected. So, does that mean he was ahead of his time?
Maybe so. Maybe it was just too fast. Too early. All right, now, Saif, let's get into some words from our past interviewees. I'm talking about Kim Osorio, Datewan Thomas, Donnie Kwok, and Mr. C. All about a record, Saif, that you and I have changed. We vacillated back and forth on the controversial Sunshine by Jay-Z. They made a clear attempt to go commercial with Sunshine.
Yes.
Do you think that was a misstep?
Well, I think the record was a misstep. It just, you know, if Sunshine were a different record, then maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation. It just wasn't that great of a record.
That's Kim Osorio, former editor-in-chief at The Source. Like, it's grown
up. Have you listened to it recently?
You love it now?
Yeah,
it's really good.
You're in the car like,
it's phenomenal.
Really good now. I'm telling you.
It really,
I heard it in a
it's like okay, but for that time,
In the moment, it was like you tried to
do. It's not what you wanted from Jay-Z.
No, and they were trying to redo.
But you wanted Dead Presidents.
They wanted to redo the record with Foxy again. So they did another record with Foxy.
Right.
And they brought in Trackmasters. And they're like, this is the perfect paper. On paper, it was the perfect follow-up to Crush New York. Make a video that is Hype Williams. And
yeah, big.
Big.
Right.
And it wasn't.
Yeah.
That's not what people
take.
It's
not a bad record. That's not what I'm saying. It's not the record I think at the time hip hop was looking for from Jay-Z.
What do you think about Volume 1 and what do you think about Sunshine? Did Sunshine work out or not?
Yo, why you ask everybody the same thing?
I love that because
I want to have the multiple opinions on it.
Volume 1 is one of my favorites because Million and One.
At least you gave the right answer. I don't love it as an album, but what I love about it is A Million and One blew my mind.
That shit is just incredible. 4.6, like what you got? That shit go with Sunshine video, I think, is what capsized the movement. It slowed it up. Now, I love Hype. I love the roller coaster theme stuff and the crazy ass colors, but that just didn't fit the persona that we were coming out of with Reasonable Doubt.
Cigar, hat.
It was like, whoa, what is this? And the fact that Jay signed off on it, not feeling it all the way, was an issue for me.
That was my brother, Daytwon Thomas, editor-in-chief at Vibe Magazine. And here's Donnie Kwok, East Coast bureau chief at The Ringer. Ooh, that's fancy.
You know, after Reasonable Doubt didn't even go gold.
He wanted a hit.
Yeah, he needed a hit. And so he kind of clumsily attempted, you know, pop sounds.
Even though we now realize in retrospect that Sunshine was much better than we thought at the time.
Have you listened recently?
Nah, you'll be in the Japanese restaurant.
By the way, eating sushi. Yo, if you're driving around and you turn on Sunshine on a nice day and blast in your car, you'll be like, this song is, the drums hit so hard.
I mean, it's what, Planet Rock, right?
Yeah, it's like, it's not Planet Rock. It's,
Rockin' It.
Yes, we be. But it's like, it knocks so big. But anyways, regardless how we feel about it now, at the time, it did. It felt like a clumsy attempt to recreate Ain't No, but make it even bigger.
Right.
Finally, the OG and formerly grump DJ Mr. C.
I think what happened with Volume 1 is that because of Sunshine and because of The City Is Mine,
yeah,
those two records smothered the greatness of those other records.
There's been times where something like that could end someone's career.
No, I understand. But for Hove, I mean, God bless him, he's had bigger mistakes than Sunshine.
I mean, that was one of the first ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were used to one thing when the album came out, and then when Reasonable Doubt came out, and then Volume 1 was an attempt at being more commercial. Mm-hmm. So I saw Volume 1 as a big mistake. In retrospect, I don't necessarily feel that way about it. I think there's great stuff on it.
Okay.
What I don't like is sequencing. Like the intro, A Million and One Questions, is one of the hardest Jay-Z songs literally of all time. Like if you're a real Jay-Z fan, the second you hear the pianos and what Primo did on that record, you go nuts. But then the second track is You Belong to the Streets, which was just so, why did they even think to sample that?
You're skipping over a big era of hip hop of big radio hits being sampled to create even bigger radio hip hop hits. You know what I'm saying?
I don't understand what you mean. Say it again.
The Diddy era.
Ah, yes.
The Diddy era, taking a big radio song from back in the day, sampling it and making a hip-hop song that could also then turn into a big radio song.
Right.
But not every old hit deserved to be a hip-hop hit. Like, you take like the Beatnuts or Diamond D, they were trying to find hard-to-find records and samples and make these ill, gloomy, dark sounding beats, you know what I'm saying? And then Puff was like, no, let's take something that was already a hit and make it a hit again.
These songs were hits for reasons.
Yeah.
Let's make them hits again. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it completely bricked.
So that's what was happening on in my lifetime with those songs, like The City Is Mine.
So they tried it with the City Is Mine. They tried it with I Know What Girls
Like.
Chad,
right? Yeah, I told you that.
Chad Hugo from the Neptunes is playing
the saxophone on that song.
It's a great tidbit.
Yeah.
Bad song. I Know What Girls Like. Trying Again. Yeah. Doesn't work. Sunshine's one of those records that was seen as a huge brick, but you and I have both fallen in love with the record in retrospect.
Where's Sunshine on this album? I'll Always Be My Sunshine. Yeah. Because look, if you go through the track listing of Lifetime, Volume 1, City's Mine, I Know What Girls Like, now you're kind of turned off.
Right. So that's what threw me.
Yeah.
I got the album. I'm a freshman in college.
Yeah.
This is when I first started receiving records from a record label. Def Jam sent me. Remember what the Rockefeller promos looked like? Of course you do. The Rockefeller jackets. They were just a plain gray Rockefeller jacket.
Yes, yes.
I got the one. They sent me one copy. It was a double vinyl. I'm like, wow, Jay-Z's album. A few days early. I'm so excited. I got it maybe a Friday. It came out on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. My show is tonight. I want to hear it. Boom. A Million and One Questions. Oh, my God. This is incredible. Let me hear track two. Oh.
You belong to the streets.
Okay.
And especially me. You have to understand this, too. I think at that time, people were trying to toy around with quote-unquote whiter songs.
Yeah.
And the irony was lost on me because I am white.
Right.
I don't want it. I don't want to hear...
Well, you're not real white, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though. I don't want to hear songs that I heard my friend's parents playing. Like, it's the opposite of everything. For good hip-hop, I want to hear what young black kids' parents were playing, mm-hmm. not what white kids' parents were playing.
Right.
I don't want Bruce... When I first heard Changes by Tupac, I'm like, Bruce Hornsby? Like, we're not doing this. Now, over time, I grew to like it, whatever. But when I see her... So then I go from A Million and One Questions, incredible.
Yeah.
City is Mine. Mm-hmm. Okay, no. I Know What Girls Like. Nope.
Now you're
Skip-a-roo.
Upset.
Yeah. So now I'm like, I'm already to track four, and I ended up, as a result, kind of sleeping on how great Imaginary
if
Players
was. If you make
was.
It to Imaginary Players...
Oh, you're in a zone now.
You're back, but it's hard to get through
the first
two.
So then you get Imaginary Players, amazing.
Then you get Streets is Watching.
Amazing. Friend or Foe 98?
Yeah.
Don't think that. Primo. Vintage Primo.
Yeah.
Lucky Me is child... baby doo-doo soft, but it's good. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, it is so soft, but it is good. And then I like Sunshine. Who You Wit was a fun record, you know? Who You Wit's weird. Who You Wit was kind of a hit that you don't talk about being a hit anymore, right?
It got swallowed up by so many other hits.
But Who You Wit was from the Sprung soundtrack, yeah. And it was a hit. It's a great record. Ski. Anyways, we got to focus on the Bricks. I never loved these volumes. I thought they were always sort of incomplete albums. Volume two, which Mr. C thinks incredibly highly of and has hits on it, I never really spent a lot of time with it. I look at it as like an album full of singles plus Reservoir Dogs. That's what I sort of think of that album as, you know?
I understand what you're saying.
Hard Knock Life and What and Who. Money Cash Hoes, Can I Get a Money Ain't a Thing, It's All Right. It's like a club. It's just basically like club hits,
yeah,
plus Reservoir Dogs.
That's what was popping in those days.
But yeah, to me, not the world's greatest. We still didn't decide, though, what his biggest brick of all time is. I mean, most people would say album-wise, it's Blueprint 2. That was all. I know you don't feel that way. But that was always seen from an album standpoint,
yeah,
as Jay's biggest brick, especially because Blueprint 1 was his, or I think, his best album.
Yeah. I think it hurt calling it Blueprint 2.
Right. You're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, just call it something else.
And it's super long. It's got a lot of songs.
Is Kingdom Come a brick?
Most people think so.
Right? It was his return album, but yet it didn't hurt him.
No, nothing really hurt that hurt much. Him. Yo, there are a lot of songs on, like, Blueprint 2 is called The Gift and the Curse, and I always used to say it was just the curse. There was no gift. But that's not true. That was me being an annoyed fan at the time. It's not true. You can look at it now and see there are records on there I love. Do you love Meet the Parents?
I don't know Meet the Parents.
Oh, Meet the Parents is really good. It's a great story. You Don't Know Remix. And
with M.O.P.?
Yeah. Poppin' Tags? You into Poppin' Tags?
No, I was more of a N-Word Please, which is a Pharrell sleeper.
That is, no, that's maybe the best joint on there.
Yeah.
And of course it led to the remix. Did you like Hovey Baby or no?
Nah.
It was okay. What about The Bounce with Kanye?
I do like The Bounce.
Bounce is nice. Excuse Me, Miss? Are you an Excuse Me, Miss guy?
Bounce is that the first Jay-Z Kanye song? Together?
I think so, with them rapping.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think it is. Also, I don't know. We didn't do our research for this podcast. Come on, guys.
Yeah, we're looking through it. We're figuring it out as we go. Were you a Bonnie and Clyde fan?
I do like Bonnie and Clyde, actually.
See, I like it now. Didn't like it then.
Really?
No. Nope.
I mean, that's one of my favorite Pac songs. That's why.
Me and my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about his gun.
No, I know.
In the Pac version. He's talking about his handgun.
What about, Saif, let's talk about our favorite Jay-Z brick, which would be his verse on Monster.
Oh, this is a tough call for me.
Why?
It hurts a lot.
With that verse?
Yeah.
What was he thinking on that?
I don't know.
They were like, the song's called Monster. He's like, cool, I'm gonna go full literal. Goons, goblins.
Sasquatch,
Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness,
goblin, ghoul, a zombie with no kind. Sasquatch.
Yo, man, everyone has a misstep. He's made a lot of great songs, like hundreds.
His misstep just created Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, because she ends up bodying the song.
Yeah.
Because he comes on and just goes, goons, goblins, Sasquatch.
Yeah.
And what are these does he say what do these things have in common? You don't want to read the lyrics, do you? No, this might be hurtful. You're gonna read the lyrics?
Hold on, let's get it.
It's for you guys remember this, of course, but Monster by Kanye West was a single off My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. It was Jay-Z, Kanye, Rick Ross, Nicki Minaj, like the biggest rappers of the time. And Nicki's scorching hot. Oh,
she closed it.
She closed it. She had the best verse. It was everyone's favorite part. What does Jay-Z say on that song?
Okay, so it's Jay-Z's verse. It was, I'm a motherfucking monster. I need to see your fucking hands at the concert. I'm gonna need to see your fucking hands. Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness, goblin, ghoul, a zombie with no conscience.
Keep going.
Question, what do these things all have in common? Everybody knows I'm a motherfucking monster. Ugh.
Why did he do that? Why did he list all the monsters and then he said, question, what do these things have in... Yo, he wasn't paying attention that day, bro. He just didn't care. Do you think he went to Hawaii? Whenever was in Hawaii, did he go?
I don't know. I don't remember hearing him.
Maybe he was just on his own and was like, I'll do the stupid verse.
Maybe no one else did their verse yet.
He was like, oh, sweet, we're doing a monster song? I love monsters. I've been wanting to do a horrorcore song for so long.
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness, goblin, ghoul, a zombie with no conscience.
And by the way, King Kong does not fit in at all.
What do you mean?
King Kong's not a monster. It's a specific movie. It's a huge overgrown gorilla.
That's not a monster?
No.
What is a monster to you?
A monster is a being that doesn't, like, I know a King Kong doesn't
exist. Sasquatch? Is that a monster?
Not really. It's also, again, it's sort of like King Kong, but smaller.
Godzilla?
No, Godzilla is a monster. Doesn't exist. It is, I mean, neither does King Kong, don't get me wrong, but King Kong is based on what an animal to me. It's not a monster. It's a giant gorilla.
What do you define as a monster?
An alien, something that does not exist.
Okay.
I mean, granted, King Kong does not exist, but a version of King Kong exists. Like, King Kong has cousins. They're called just gorillas. You can go to the zoo.
A zombie is a human that is now...
I think a zombie's a monster, though. I'll give him zombie.
A zombie was a human.
But now it's a monster.
So if a gorilla becomes oversized, then it's a monster.
You know, that's a good point. That's actually a hard argument. This is why the verse was so brilliant. Yo, can you imagine if Jay-Z felt this way? How disappointed was he when he saw the movie Monsters Ball? He walked in, he was like, yes, Monsters Ball. This is going to be the best thing ever. 2 hours later, he's crying. Halle Berry's having this just distraught, terrible sex scene. He was like, this is trash. There's no ghouls or goblins in this movie. I came to see a Monsters Ball.
Oh, man.
That may be his worst verse of all time. But there are other moments that are not good. There are. They exist. What about beefs? Do you think he had any beefs that were big missteps?
You know me, I don't focus on that. You got to remind me.
Well, he's had feuds with so many people, I don't even remember.
I don't remember the Nas one.
You don't remember? You remember that?
I said I only remember the Nas one.
Dipset. 50.
Was it?
They happened. I mean, there were moments. They were quick.
I don't know. Maybe I'm too close to it. I see him laugh all this stuff off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? All right, well, look, man. You being the journalist extraordinaire that you were in this hip-hop realm, and thank you so much for your contribution.
Appreciate it.
There was something that happened mm-hmm. with our guy
yep.
in that era where it got really kind of super ugly. You get it? You get it? But the Nas Jay battle,
yeah.
From your point of view of being where at the time?
I remember. I was at XXL. Yeah. No. I'm sorry. I was at King.
King Magazine.
And I got to hear Ether early.
Right. Like, okay, so what do you think of the whole battle?
Of the whole battle? Jay, Nas won the battle. Jay, if we're going to say it, won the war.
Right.
So,
and what is the battle?
It was a battle.
No, what is the battle?
Oh, the battle is Jay's shots from the Unplugged shit, from Takeover.
Yeah.
To Nas's rebuttal with Super Ugly, with Ether.
Ether.
And then Jay comes back with Super Ugly.
Yeah.
Nas is throwing, and what's crazy is, like, even leading up to that, they got songs throwing shots at each other. Uh-huh. So we all knew that it was brewing.
Right.
We just didn't know the dark underbelly of what the hell was going on outside of rap.
Wait, before Ether, you saying they were throwing little shots?
Yeah, all of them was throwing shots at each other.
Really?
Yeah. They was throwing shots at each other. But it was just wild. Ask Nas, he don't want it with Hov. It was like, whoa, wait, what the fuck just happened? Like, that right there, I feel like that line shifted so much in hip-hop since it was like, all right, is this real beef or what the hell is that? Because we knew about the Prodigy stuff and everything with Jay and all that. When he said, ask Nas, he don't want it with Hov, that was like the Thor sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And Thor calls for his hammer and shit in Endgame and shit.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
And we were like, why? What? Why?
What happened?
Wait, did you know about the little shots beforehand?
Kind of, sort of. Is that your chick and all that stuff? I don't know if that's before or not, but you kind of knew about the tension. And
I never.
And this is the thing.
I suck at sublims.
You know what it is, Pseudo? King of New York is a real thing.
Yeah.
Who had it? Who had King of New York? Somebody had to say something to, like, level the playing field.
Yeah.
Somebody had to do something, and Jay was just like, here we go. We're just going to go ahead and just play this shit out.
Yeah, but now you're saying the first time, what did you say about the live or the Unplugged?
Oh, when he was like, ask Nas, he don't want it with Hov.
That's where you heard it first?
Not from that, but, I mean, that's where you visually see him being able to saying it. You know what I'm saying? Because that was on TV, but he had said it before in Takeover.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because the first time he debuted it at Summer Jam.
Summer Jam was the joint.
With the
whole screen and all that shit. Like, yeah. Everybody was bugging. But I didn't go to that. I think of that line, I think about him on Unplugged.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I think of. And I also feel like, it sounds crazy to say, it was probably needed, man. It was needed to, like, shake up the hierarchy.
Yeah. It's like some Game of Thrones shit before Game of Thrones.
Definitely. And I think the reason why Nas won is because no one expected Nas to come swinging back like that.
Right.
You know? And on that kind of beat, like that Ron Browse beat was, like, such a not Nas beat.
Right.
You know, and it allowed him to open up, and you can hear everything he said.
True.
It was wild.
That was hip-hop writer Daytwan Thomas. Do you think that the Nas beef was an L, though?
Because,
you know, I preferred everything Jay did.
No, I don't.
Watch this. I'm going to catch him. Watch this.
What?
But was Super Ugly a mistake?
Super Ugly is not a mistake. It's just not great. But here's the thing. I never, like, I didn't understand why people were going so crazy over Ether. You know
Me
what I'm
neither.
Saying?
I still don't to this day.
And Takeover to me is a better song.
It is.
This is a DJ speaking, a DJ who plays. I see now the reaction Ether gets, but at the time I was like, is this really that bad? And I remember seeing a girl I think I was on the train, and a girl on a crowded train was like, this nigga Nas body and Hov. And she's like singing the lines.
What, she was listening to it like for the first time?
I don't even think it was the first time. I think she was just into it. And she was nodding her head and she was going nuts. And she was like, this nigga Nas body Hov. She's like singing the words. And I was like, oh, people really like this?
So for people who don't realize necessarily the order is that Takeover came out first,
mm-hmm.
and it's on the Blueprint. And then a few months later, actually, Ether comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost as if Jay-Z felt he had to respond to Ether because Ether was so distanced from the Jay diss yeah. on. And again, it's vintage. We talk about this. Jay-Z loves sublims. Takeover is so much more abstract than Ether.
Yeah.
Ether literally starts out, the first song is, the first words are, fuck Jay-Z.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so, fuck Jay-Z. It's like part of the beat.
Yeah.
And to me, I see that as not good. I see that as, to me, from an artistic nerd standpoint, I'm like, just fuck Jay-Z, that's it. Oh, he looks like a rat. Like, I just thought it was childish. I didn't think it had the substance.
Yeah, but in the game, it feels like an L.
Yeah, it's like classic cafeteria mentality.
Yeah.
Jay-Z was coming with like a quick, thoughtful line.
But also, when a king gets nicked, enemies of the king will always bring up the nick. And it's like, it's a scratch. No, but I saw it. You got scratched. I saw it.
Right. Because that's all they've ever had.
It's all they got where he stumbled. Every king stumbles in a battle. You know what I'm saying?
But I will say, from my last over a decade being in hip hop in New York, the consensus among New York is that Jay-Z lost that battle.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I don't feel that way. You don't feel that way. A lot of people don't feel that way, but I would say the consensus is he did, that Ether was the most memorable part of that moment.
Yeah.
But in the end, like so many things, once Jay-Z's president of Def Jam, he ends up signing Nas.
Yeah, no, we know who won the war.
And they end up being friends down
and
the road.
Do you think the rhymes of Super Ugly were fire? It's just why did he pick that beat?
So when he dropped Super Ugly as a response to...
Because he's saying some shit on Super Ugly.
He responds to Ether.
He's being very mean.
No, he's being very mean. So two things. One, the Bad Intentions Dre beat was a weird choice.
Yeah.
Even though the beat was hot, it was just a weird choice. And also, this is important.
Mm.
Some people, like Nas, went low. And I'm not saying people expected that of Nas at the time, because it's not like he did a lot of that in his career. But it worked. But for whatever reason... when Jay-Z went low on Super Ugly, people were kind of offended by it. They didn't like him going low. Like, other people could go in the dirt
and
the
other
muck.
People into it.
I don't, maybe, but people didn't like Jay-Z playing around.
Car
in the,
seat was rough.
The car hearing, seat line was rough.
Hearing car seat was, that hurt. And I didn't have kids at the time, but hearing the leaving condoms on your baby car seat, I was like, oh, that's not
quite
nice
an image.
It's not nice at all.
So yeah, for some reason though, but Nas said mean things on Ether, and people just didn't think of it the same way.
This is maybe one version that I think everything Nas said was to Jay. I think Jay brought in someone else.
People don't like that when you bring in other people.
Why are you bringing other, you know, and like, I don't know, maybe kids is a thing.
Well, and you saw that revisited, by the way.
What?
So last year when Drake and Pusha got into it,
right.
A year and a half ago, whatever it was, Drake introduced the idea of mentioning other people.
Yeah.
Drake brought up Pusha's now wife, who is not a public figure.
Uh-huh.
And Drake brought that up.
I didn't know that.
And as a result, Pusha went just complete scorched earth. Yeah. Have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No, not yet. I want to see
There's a scene with fire, and that is what
did Drake say about
he burned it down.
Girl,
he just did it. It wasn't mean. He didn't say mean, coarse words about her, but he just brought up her name and made her a public figure.
Mm.
And Pusha was like, oh, is that where we're going? Now I'm going to say vicious things about everybody around you.
Mm.
So people do, once you mention someone else, it changes things.
Yeah, it changes it.
Now, he almost took a big L with the
dum-bum.
With the Lance Un Rivera situation.
Actually, let's talk about Volume 3. Another thing about Volume 3, because if you guys remember, which I'm sure you do, the release party, not the release party actually, but at Q-Tip's release party in the month that Volume 3 was to come out, that was when the whole Jay-Z Un situation happened at the Kit Kat Club. Yeah.
That was the Amplified release party?
Yeah.
It was.
That was Donnie Kwok, hip-hop expert and editor at The Ringer.
And yep. So
I know nothing. I did not even realize it was a Q-Tip's party.
So what was alleged, obviously, is ancient history now, is that Un was responsible for the leak somehow of Volume 3. Until after the leak, Jay-Z switched the... They added Watch Me, I think. They took out anything. They took out Is That Your Chick? Or Is That Your Bitch, it was called. And they gave it to Bleak, I guess, and added Twista and all that. But so basically, if Volume 3 had come out as it was originally intended to, it has a couple more songs on it. There was like a third Hova song, interstitial. It could have been even a better album.
Yeah, he's got past a lot of situations that could have definitely changed the course of his life and career.
I mean, in that case, he actually copped to it, right? There was a plea deal. He ended up doing 3 years probation.
Yeah, I don't know. The details. Yeah, he did. He was on 3 years probation.
But it was like a known thing that there was this altercation with Un Rivera.
Right.
And he ended up, it ended up not really affecting him in the long run that much.
No.
I mean, in my eyes, helped his street cred.
What is he, did he need help with his street cred? Also, how is he so bulletproof where these things don't even, it didn't matter?
Well, my guess is that there was some conversation there, some acknowledgement of whatever happened between them. That we need to figure out a way to solve it, you know, and that there was a way for everyone to benefit from it and move on or take the least amount of repercussion and move on.
Yeah, that was that felt very personal.
I mean,
that felt very personal.
Listen, I'm not going to go. I don't work at Court TV, but a quick Google search for anyone of Jay-Z and Un Rivera, and you could read the stories that were written about it at the time. Well, it's a pretty happy album to have such a violent altercation.
But if you don't know who Un is, Un was Biggie's partner. And when Biggie decided to make his own label, like Junior Mafia is Big and Un, right? So when Big passed away, Un took over. So Un is, Lil' Kim was signed to Un, Lil' C's was signed to Un. I mean, basically every Junior Mafia member, but those two are the ones that came out. Jay-Z has verses on both those albums, Lil' Kim album and Lil' C's album.
So there's a long relationship here.
Yeah, it's like a Brooklyn, they've known each other for a long time. And
wait, how was Un tied into Charlie Baltimore?
Because she was also signed.
She was signed there.
She was signed to Entertainment, yeah.
She was signed to Entertainment and
but
she
Biggie
was part
brought
of
her in. And they were going to be the group.
The commission.
The commission.
Biggie, Jay-Z, Charlie Baltimore.
Yeah. Right? So, I mean, this guy, he did a lot for him. Plus, Cam'ron was signed to Entertainment.
Yeah, no, Un was a big player in hip-hop at that
time.
I
wonder how that connects. I know Biggie signed Cam'ron. No, Mace brought Cam'ron to Biggie and was like, you should sign this guy.
That makes perfect sense.
Cam'ron was technically, I don't think the deal was done before Biggie died, but Biggie was basically going to sign Cam'ron. And then he died, so he still signed with Un. So Entertainment was Charlie Baltimore and Cam'ron as his label.
And he had a label deal through Epic.
Yeah, so it's like all connected, all this. But it's weird because Dame Dash at one point, I think, managed Cam'ron, but now he's signed to Biggie and Un's label, you know what I mean? It was all connected.
So, yeah, at some point, this relationship, which obviously went back a long time, something went left.
Yeah.
And we
ended up... I don't know. I was like, I did all this shit for you and you're bootlegging my album?
Now, interestingly enough...
You take this here steal, Un.
Now, this ends up, of course... No, that's probably making light of something, but everyone turned out okay. Now, interestingly enough, after that situation happens with Un, Jay-Z ends up making the record Guilty... Mm-hmm. Until Proven Innocent.
Yeah.
With R. Kelly.
Yep.
Both talking about being, you know, under the watchful eye of the law.
Yeah.
Jay-Z talking
trying
about.
Trying to get us.
Jay-Z talking about his situation. R. Kelly talking about the law coming to get him. And you have to note here, when you're going back now 15, 20 years, the view of R. Kelly at that time was he was questionable. There were questions about what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But certainly you could have plausibly believed, if you didn't know anything, which people didn't really know, that, yeah, he's singing about actually being innocent and they're just going after him.
Yeah.
And it seemed plausible at the time.
I mean, hip-hop artists or hip-hop people, artists from that community talking about the police and the DA's trying to get him. Yeah, it's a commonplace material.
Right. So you have to understand, I know it's hard right now in the post-surviving R. Kelly era to imagine a time when people were able to just turn away from it and not be sure. But I have news for you. That's what everyone did. R. Kelly continued to be on top from that point. You know, he was on top then and still was for a long time after that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get into a long R. Kelly discussion, but R. Kelly needing money for legal fees produced some of the greatest R. Kelly music ever.
Oh, that was him.
When he started doing everyone's features and writing songs for everybody.
That's so interesting.
He had to get his bread up, and it created this whole era of great R&B collab songs.
Yeah, one feature after another. Now, Jay-Z and R. Kelly, because obviously you could argue now that Jay-Z working with R. Kelly, and we could rewrite history because R. Kelly appears now to be a really bad guy.
Yeah.
To say that was all a mistake. But you can't rewrite history musically. Fiesta with R. Kelly and Jay-Z was a monster.
Yep.
Right? The first Jay-Z R. Kelly album, Best of Both Worlds.
Filled with hits.
I mean.
Yes.
I know. I know we probably won't go around playing it much these days, but Best of Both Worlds, Body, Somebody's Girl. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great songs on that album. And then, of course, they end up having a fallout, which now I'm guessing Jay-Z is probably so happy in retrospect that the relationship completely blew up because of R. Kelly's.
And how so publicly.
Yeah, and it was completely public. And basically, for people who don't know what happened, R. Kelly essentially on their tour here at the Garden had a meltdown, and basically his total lack of professionalism, or so it seemed, led to the end of the Best of Both Worlds tour.
Yeah.
And they never recovered from that.
No.
That was the end. And then R. Kelly ended up learning everything that we learned. And I'm sure Jay-Z was like, oh, well, glad we made the songs. Go ahead and not mention those ever again.
So that looks like a brick for Jay-Z.
But at the time it wasn't.
But it's like reverse. And now the brick was like, oh, he made this album. It's not coming out. Actually, that's turned out to be a great thing.
Right. It's so interesting.
It's like a reverse brick.
Right. If he'd continued to have success with R. Kelly, maybe it would have been something he really wasn't happy about.
Yeah.
It's kind of good that he got out of the relationship when he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty bizarre when you think about the fact that R. Kelly was connected to Aaliyah.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking that the whole time.
And then Aaliyah ends up being Dame Dash's girlfriend and Jay-Z's close friend. You know, Aaliyah was around them a lot. Like Aaliyah was.
They were friends before she was Dame Dash's girlfriend.
Oh, they already knew each other. Mm. And then, yeah, just really interesting, full circle. But yeah, so then they ended up putting out a second Jay-Z R. Kelly album, which they ended up just like, what happened? They just threw it out.
I guess it was, this is me just being in the industry. I guess it was done, but then they had a falling out, and a label a label's only job is to sell records and make money. They're like, all right, well, just put it out, try to break even. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like no one's going to promote it.
Yeah,
neither side would promote it.
Otherwise, we're waste, you know, just have it out there, see if we can get anything from it.
So yeah, if you look around, you will see the second Jay-Z R. Kelly album and you'll be like, what is this? Like why?
Chips.
Big Chips.
Big Chips.
What was it called? Unfinished Business?
Ugh. I don't remember.
And by the way, I bet if I went and dug through it right now, I'd probably find a couple songs in there and be like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
No, you
but
can't
you
listen to
never
that.
Went through it. Like it never had a moment at all. Watch the Throne album. That sucked.
What do you mean?
Oh, no, sorry. It was amazing. I get confused
so
sometimes.
Good, man.
I'm trying to think of more bricks because there aren't a whole lot. Although, I will say that Girls, Girls, Girls doesn't necessarily hold up to the current. No, not musically. Lyrically, necessarily to the times. If you were to listen to it now.
I'll listen back.
I think Blueprint's perfect. Black Album has a couple songs I'm not absolutely in love with. On an otherwise really, really good album.
see, this type of conversation is all subjective. Super. Because there's songs that I don't like that people think are their, well, some of the greatest songs ever.
Black Album, December 4th, Fire. What More Can I Say? You like What More Can I Say?
Of course.
Encore. I like Encore.
Oh, Change Clothes is not my favorite.
Change Clothes is not my favorite, but it did okay. Dirt Off Your Shoulder, Fire.
You like Threat, I'm assuming.
I love Threat. Ninth Wonder, not a fan?
That's a skipper for me.
What about Moment of Clarity?
I don't remember which one that is.
It's slow. 99 Problems. Oh, Justify My Thug, Brick.
What?
You like it?
No. It should have been a hit, though.
It's
that beat is fire.
The beat's fire, but there's just it shouldn't have been called Justify My Thug. Why are you taking the title of a not that popular Madonna song and flipping it into the title?
That was a big Madonna song in New York.
Dude, that's a hot record.
Yeah.
Justify My Love.
Also, it's a Public Enemy beat.
My Love's a hot record. It just seems super random to have a song called Justify My Thug. Lucifer's fire. And also don't forget that the Black Album led to the remix albums. Kev Brown's The Brown Album.
Yeah.
Then
The Gray Album.
The Gray Album, which set off Danger Mouse's entire career.
Oh.
But not a lot. I would say Justify My Thug's The Brick off the Black Album. What about the Linkin Park album?
I love that album.
Do you really?
Yeah. Is it a brick? Is that considered a brick?
Well, it was successful. I know it did well.
Did you not like it?
I didn't listen to it.
Really?
No.
I liked Linkin Park. So that album, because the Linkin Park album wasn't original songs. It was already established Jay-Z songs and already established Linkin Park songs. And then they found a way to like
mash them up.
Numb/Encore. Yeah.
I know that was the big one.
That was a big one.
Because I saw it written down.
Yeah.
Didn't listen to it. I mean, really? I heard it.
Did you like Linkin Park?
No.
Oh.
Because I have good taste in music.
You're not a sad goth white girl like me.
I don't know. That's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and judge you because our perspectives in going towards music like that are so different.
Yeah.
So like I didn't have, I had very little interest in sort of the music that was popular among white people at that time.
Right.
That was current at that time.
And why? Because you were trying to hide your whiteness?
I culturally was so not there. I had these moments where it would happen accidentally. Like I liked the Foo Fighters album from 1997, whatever that was called. Because I saw them randomly perform at Tower Records and I was like, oh, I like this. Dave Grohl's cool. So I would have like these random things I would gravitate towards.
Right.
But not like Linkin Park. I'm sure they're a good group. I paid no attention.
That's so weird. Yeah, I liked Linkin Park.
Was that considered a brick? It did really well, and it got him popular with their crowd.
Oh, yeah, he, that shit, I mean, I don't know in our world if it was considered a brick or if it was not even paid attention to.
Yeah, you can't call it a brick because people in our world didn't care.
But in that world,
they just didn't care, so it was fine.
Yeah, in that world, it was huge. Like, he did, like, I remember when he was getting ready, one of the various times I worked with him, he was getting ready for a big show with them, maybe a Lollapalooza, one of them type of things, you know what I'm saying? And they were headlining some big show that I don't think he's ever even been on.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like excited. He's like, yeah, we're doing that with Linkin Park.
By the way, that reminds me of something.
What I'm here for.
Do you remember when he came out with Fish in Brooklyn?
No.
Yes.
Why?
There was a Fish show. They were playing, or was it Brooklyn or City Field? It was a Fish show in New York.
Fish.
And he came out with Fish.
And did what?
99 Problems, perhaps? Hold on, let me look on YouTube.
Fish has no beat. It's just
but
fucking...
If you're white and you like to sway,
yeah,
sway music on Fleek.
Oh my God, double Fleek.
Let me see, hold on. Fish, Jay-Z.
Why would he do that?
Jay has always had an understanding of things that are meaningful in other people's worlds. So if Trey Anastasio from Fish calls and is like, yo, we're playing in Brooklyn, and you tell me, Syfe, you know him better. Don't you think Jay's the kind of guy who would ask people, yo, how important is Fish? And if people were like, Fish is one of the biggest touring bands of all time, you should pop through.
I would like to figure out why he did that. How did that come about?
Yeah, ask him right now.
I'm going to ask him. No, I don't have his current.
Oh, he changed on you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You may never hear from him again.
The current number. Okay, maybe here's the thing. Everyone has bricks, right? Mm-hmm. What do you do when you have a brick, or what people are saying is a brick, or you know what I'm saying? Your next move is what keeps you in the game. So people said Volume 1 was a brick, or they didn't like Sunshine and blah, blah, blah. He regroups and he makes Streets Is Watching album / movie with all the videos. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and if you haven't seen it, it's amazing. He basically took all the good songs that he had done, all the hardest mm-hmm. songs from the last couple of years, plucked some from Reasonable Doubt, mm-hmm. from In My Lifetime, other places, and just puts them together into this like long, compilation of music videos that tells a story.
Yeah.
And yes, did it mean anything to the mainstream world? No.
No.
But to New York, to hip-hop heads who were buying things on the street?
No, but I'll tell you, more than New York, because people down south were doing stuff like this, making movies.
Yes.
Master P.
Ice Cream Man.
3-6 Mafia.
What was it called
again? I forgot 3-6 Mafia's movie.
Voice, not Voices. 3-6 Mafia is called, it was the name of their album too.
I don't remember. Tear the Club Up?
Not Choices. Damn it! I wanted to name them all. You said Master P. I said Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, and About It.
Oh, About It was a movie too.
But a lot of guys were making, so he was like taking a lot of ideas from what they were doing down there. That's the very independent route, and made Streets Is Watching. And then like, back on fire, baby.
That's it.
Back on fire. Game. Streets. Go back to the streets.
I feel like every time he had a brick, there was some sort of strong response.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm looking at 3-6 Mafia. Wasn't the movie called Choices? Choices 2, the soundtrack.
Mm.
Had to be Choices. So yeah, how about this? Kingdom Come, people thought was a brick.
Right.
You know what he came with next?
American Gangster. Attached to a Denzel movie.
Yep. Which all just had great records on it too.
Wait, Kingdom Come. Yeah, I didn't like Kingdom Come, but there is a song on there. Dig a Hole is my favorite song.
Dig a Hole is good.
Dig a Hole is fire.
How often do you sit around listening to Beach Chair with Chris Martin?
Oh, I love Beach Chair with Chris Martin.
I don't believe you. And in fact, if you want to look for Jay-Z bricks, I could say just him thinking Coldplay is that good is a brick.
That's his friend.
I know, but...
That's his friend. He's friends with the Martins.
I know. I get it. But Kingdom Come does have Lost One on it.
What do you mean? Coldplay was huge.
Very popular.
So what do you mean? What are you saying?
Well, the thing is, I don't sit around and whine like a bitch. So I don't listen to Coldplay. Actually, I do sit around and whine like a bitch. But when I do so, I don't listen
to
Coldplay.
That's why you don't listen to Coldplay.
I don't need to. I have myself.
Yeah, you don't need it.
Yeah, I am Chris Martin. I don't need him to complain for me. But I will tell you, Lost One on Kingdom Come. Whew, really good. But yeah, he comes back with American Gangster. How about this? A lot of people don't like Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back with 444.
No, that doesn't count.
But he's never had back-to-back.
Right.
Never back-to-back breaks.
Right.
Because you have to understand this. As time goes on in a career, I don't care if you're Jay-Z, Paul Simon, Bruce Springsteen, anyone whose career spans 20, 30 years, I got news for you. Not every album's a classic. Bob Dylan, the people who keep going, Michael Jackson.
Is Wash It Thrown after Magna Carta or before?
It's a great question. Either way, it's fire.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's after, but I don't know.
I guarantee you whatever he rapped right after he did Ghouls, Goblins, Loch Ness was fire too.
Yes.
He didn't follow it up with another song about monsters.
No. He said...
or like, this song's about sea creatures.
The greatest brick mishap by Jay-Z is Love!
At the end of that verse?
Yeah. That was like,
We're back to Monster again.
Yeah.
We couldn't leave that long. Because he starts with Ghouls, Goblins, Loch Ness, and then he ends with Love! I don't get enough of it. All I get is these something leeches blood suckers.
Yeah.
Why'd he
do
that?
Those are little monsters.
Those are little monsters!
Leeches and bloodsuckers.
They're
like
miniature
little
monsters. Why did he do it?
Oh, he's gonna fucking kill us.
Sorry, Jay. You're the greatest ever. How much? I can't say you made a mistake. Listen to my show. There's bad shows 2-3 days a week. I'm doing the best I can. We all make mistakes. Big thank you to everyone who's been listening to the podcast so far and supporting it.
Oh, my God.
Syph, especially,
thank
though.
You.
Especially the people who go on and they click 5 stars and they leave that rating.
I know. I always hate when podcasts say that, but then I realize how amazing it is to get those ratings. So please, just click it. Just rate it. I mean, I
appreciate
you yelling
out. No, and the review. And they
got
to write the review, Syph. They can't just rate. I want a review.
Write a review. Write a review. And people yelling at me in the street, I appreciate it. But just whatever you're going to yell at me in the street, write it down.
Oh, it's so
write
easy.
It down in a little review.
Oh, and listen, to everyone who complains, all the people who listen but complain and go, I don't know about this season. It's too professional. Well, guess what? Next week's episode is just me and Syph telling old school Jay-Z stories. We're just getting personal, and we're just going to talk about all of our personal interactions with Hove. I have an idea.
I'm saying
I haven't
no.
even told you the idea that I have for how we're going to do the episode. It's going to be awesome.
Wait, what do you mean? Why are you not telling me things?
Because I have an idea and I'm running with it and I think you should trust me.
But this is a 50-50 deal.
Well, you can still get half the money. I think we're making $0 on next week's episode.
So, all right, fine.
So we'll see you guys next week. You're going to love it. And thank you all for rocking with Wanup every single week.
Moving at one volume.
One volume. Wanup is hosted by me, Peter Rosenberg.
And me, Cypher Sounds.
Our production team is associate producer Rob Dozier.
And production assistant Hebron Mendez.
Dan Panarese is our associate editor. Our executive producer is Chiquita Pascal.
Juan Epp is a production of Mass Appeal and Endeavor Audio and is also created by producer Samantha Allison of Endeavor Audio and associate producer Savannah Jeffries of Mass Appeal.
As well as executive producer Mark Grandy of Mass Appeal and Dave Easton of Endeavor Audio.
Cedric Wilson is our mix engineer.
Kasim Bradley is our recording engineer.